With heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Diego.
Hi, Diego. It's Jennifer Coolidge. You know, I just want to say your cashback match makes me feel so special. It really inspired me.
That's great. Doubling the cashback you've earned at the end of your first year is what we do.
Well, I'm doubling everything now. Double dating, double dipping, double feature, double header, double whammy. You know, basically double or nothing.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Prosecutors in the Hunter Biden gun trial today calling the widow of Hunter Biden's late brother, Beau, to testify. Hunter Biden is accused of lying on a form about drug use in 2018 when he purchased a firearm. Here's ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
Beau Biden's widow, who had been romantically involved with Hunter Biden at the time he purchased his gun, told jurors of how she found the revolver, panicked, and threw it away in the trash. Hallie Biden said she remembered that days earlier, Hunter told her he'd be meeting with a dealer named Mookie, from whom she believed he'd be buying crack. But under cross-examination, Hallie Biden conceded it's difficult to recall exactly where Hunter was at certain points, telling jurors it's all kind of vague.
President Biden, in an interview with ABC's David Muir, says he would not pardon his son Hunter if he's convicted. Federal prosecutors charging a California man for allegedly using fireworks as an incendiary device and shooting from an in-flight helicopter to destroy a Lamborghini. He uploaded that alleged incident on his YouTube channel. This is ABC News. With the Republican National Convention a little over a month away, the Trump campaign is anxious to find a running mate. ABC's Christian Cordero has more and tells us who's in the running.
Sources say the campaign has formally requested vetting information from potential running mates, including North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, and Florida Senator Marco Rubio, who has clashed with Trump before.
If he builds the wall the way he built Trump Towers, he'll be using illegal immigrant labor to do it.
The other candidates reportedly being considered include Senator Tim Scott, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, and former HUD Secretary Ben Carson.
And if you shop at TJ Maxx or Marshall's or Home Goods, you may be on camera while you're browsing the aisles. Parent company TJX says specially trained employees at certain stores will now be wearing body cameras to prevent shoplifting. That footage, though, they say will not be shared unless it is subpoenaed by police for an investigation. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit staples.com/print for details.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. 9 arrests have been made in connection to inmate deaths at Waupun Correctional Institution. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt in a Wednesday press conference.
These investigations have shown a blatant disregard for the safety of human beings, and arrests must be made and have been made. There must be accountability for the actions and inactions of state employees. As the sheriff, I am angered at how these men were treated and how they died.
Schmidt said two of the men had been dead for hours before being found by prison staff. Those arrested include the prison's former warden, Randall Happ, on charges of misconduct and abuse in the deaths of two of four inmates over the past 8 months. With Milwaukee Public Schools in turmoil over finances and leadership, former Governor Tommy Thompson says a Blue Ribbon Commission should tackle the crisis.
And I would also advocate very strongly that your fine mayor, Cavalier Johnson, who I think is doing an outstanding job, to be able to come in and help put together that Blue Ribbon Commission, along with David Crawley, another young, great black leader in Milwaukee.
At the Milwaukee Press Club Wednesday, the former Republican governor called for breaking MPS up into four smaller districts. Thompson's comments came just days after the resignation of MPS Superintendent Keith Posley. The man accused in the death of Sade Robinson has been denied a laptop in jail. Wednesday, the legal team for Maxwell Anderson requested he be given the computer to review a terabyte or 1 trillion bytes of evidence in his case to prevent further delays in his trial. But Milwaukee County Judge Mark Sanders rejected the ask.
There may be communications components of that computer, whether it's Wi-Fi or cellular connections, that can create some complications.
Anderson is charged with killing and dismembering Robinson in April. He remains in custody on a $5 million bail.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mainly cloudy and cooler, as high temperatures only rise to the mid-60s. And we've got those feisty winds whipping out of the northwest, gusting up to 35 miles per hour. And spotty showers do have a chance to sprinkle in this afternoon. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 65.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you join us once again here for another exciting program. And man, buckle up. We got a lot to get to here on the show today. Coming up later on in the program, we're going to talk about just all this rain that we've seen across the upper Midwest in many areas, parts of the Corn Belt. What does that do for our nutrients in our soil? We're going to hear from Dr. Ross Bender with Mosaic. We're going to have a conversation about that topic coming up here in segment four. In segment three, political commentator and author John Hulsman returns to the show. It's been a few months since we talked to John. We're going to catch up on the world of geopolitics and much more with him coming up after the bottom of the hour. In segment two, Dr. Jim Mintert with the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture will join us to go through the latest ag economy barometer as well. Farmer sentiment did improve, it looks like, in this month's numbers. We'll go through all the details there coming up in segment two today here on AOA. Let's kick things off, though, and take a look at what's happening in the markets. Finding some green on the screen on the grain trade Thursday. That's something we haven't necessarily seen a lot of since Memorial Day. Joining us now for a market conversation, Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Great to be with you, Jesse, and thanks for having me back.
Well, as I kind of alluded to there, it's been a tough go really the last week plus in these markets. A lot of liquidation, it's felt like funds have been going and shorting the grains, especially here once again. Wheat, of course, has kind of been a big topic that we've been watching, and now you've been watching and doing a lot of analysis on the wheat market. Looking like we're trying to bounce higher here on Thursday, but what's your overall assessment of what we're seeing in wheat right now, Mike?
Yeah, my overall assessment is that wheat is being more controlled by the crude oil, the energies, and the copper at this point, because the funds, in my opinion, Jesse, for the better part of 2 years, because we're kind of the hallmark of a supply weather-driven market where we take the market sharply higher on new supply news. We're still worried about demand. We feel like in the trade that we've gotten the supply factored in and the higher prices. We take a look at demand. If we've lost demand, we refocus our attention on inflation and the Federal Reserve debate. And I think if I had to paint a picture with my terrible art skills, that would be probably the picture I'd paint for this commodity market over the last 2 to 3 years. And so I think at the end of May, we hit a point in a time where this market was going to say, okay, we're done with the Northern Hemisphere rally at this stage of the game. We're going to have to rely upon something else. That's something else being crude oil. That's something else being the outside markets. And that's really where we're at right now. And so the fact that today's weekly export sales showed a negative in the wheat, and yet the market's rallying, I'm looking over at the outside market saying, okay, what's happening there? And I think we're going to test that theory that this is has been this pullback, which I think it is a pullback, has been more about the outside markets and the idea that we're losing demand as well.
Interesting that we went negative on weekly export sales for wheat there, even with the talk in the trade that China is looking to fill its wheat reserves potentially. I know Russia dropped their Savicon dropped their Russia forecast again here this week. So there's some other things out there too, but I'm with you on this macro train. Just feels like that's been a big controlling factor here in the wheat. And of course, wheat, we kind of watch to see as maybe our leader in the grain complex, or needing it to be the leader, right, Mike?
Yeah, and I think historically, the research I've done, I did a couple special reports on inflation and went back in history and looked at the ag markets, and crude oil support becomes really key when you get into a market like this historically. It's really your global demand barometer. And like today, one of the things I think really is helping the overall sentiment from the funds is the fact that we're up around 3% in natural gas here in the States. We're hitting a 20-week high. And so strong energies equates to improving global demand. And I think that then funnels itself into China's not going to take the world into a global recession. So I agree with you, though. I think the global grain supply demand, wheat, corn, that is not increasing yet. I think, in fact, it's probably still shrinking. So between the crude oil and the energies and the WASDE report next week, those two things, I think, are really going to make or break us on the June, and whether we have this as a pullback a week from now, we can say that, or whether we say, wow, we're going another leg lower.
Well, corn and soybeans have maybe felt like they've gotten into a little bit of an oversold territory. I'm not sure, but I know we're seeing a pretty good rally there on Thursday, led by soybeans and beet oil. Mike, yeah, your thoughts on the row crops?
Well, the big thing for the corn especially is the fact that when we look at the Paris futures, which is still, I think, leading us in the wheat and the corn, the August corn contract took over and it's rebuilt that $1.50 plus premium to the Chicago Mercantile Exchange futures price. And so I think that's an indicator saying and suggesting we have a tight corn crop globally, and especially Europe and Black Sea. I will say it very simply. When I look at Russia and Brazil and some of these key provinces that are in the drought, their soil moisture profiles are not only the lowest in 7 years at this point, they're going down still. They're not recovering. So I think their crops are tightening even more at this point. And that's where I think the corn's probably your best bet as far as can we recover and take out the old highs. I would not put that soybean market up against that at this point, given the fundamentals, especially given what you talked about a minute ago about the Prevent plant. And I'm hearing corn acres moving to soybeans, especially south of I-70 and up towards the Great Lakes.
Yeah, good thoughts there. Mike Zuzalo with Global Commodity Analytics with us here today on AOA. Mike, in terms of seeing some green on screen, it's been like six or seven sessions here where we've been mostly lower than grain. So have to think risk management wise, this is maybe another opportunity here to reward a rally to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, we've taken a lot of premium out. And so I hope we can get some of that, if not all that premium back here between the crude and between the WASDE report. But if we do go through 640 in soft red wheat and 670 in hard red, 435 in corn, 1170 in soybeans, except for soybeans, I would probably be doing mostly paper positions with the idea that we can come back around sometime during the summer, especially in the corn market because of what's happening in South America and the fact that export sales, again, were over 40% above the average.
About livestock here as we wrap things up on this segment, cattle looking like we're lower in cattle again here on Thursday's early trade. hogs too have just not been able to find a bottom, it feels like. What's your thoughts on the protein sector, Mike?
Yeah, for the short term, I think that the fact that we were down 11% in beef sales with China buying nothing, and we were up 3% on the average in pork sales with China our number one buyer, and in another case of HPAI in a dairy herd in Iowa, I would not be surprised at all to see the trade come in, reverse thrusters, buy back their hogs, sell out of their cattle in the short term. But I think, like corn, I think fat cattle have some good support underneath them thanks to tightening supplies.
Well, I know folks can find you online, connect, and take a look at your independent analysis and more at globalcomresearch.com, globalcom with two M's, research.com. With that, Mike Zuzulo, always enjoy a conversation here on AOA. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. Have a great week, sir.
Thank you very much. Mike Zuzulo there with Global Commodity Analytics. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at the latest Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. Dr. Jim Minter with Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture will join us next on AOA.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across Western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for Western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, I know last month when we talked about the Ag Economy Barometer, I, of course, was not in the host chair. I was away, and Mike Adams was filling in while I was attending to my growing family. And I know that when we looked at the Ag Economy Barometer last month, farmer sentiment had went down. Well, now It appears farmer sentiment has rebounded a bit in this month's Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. Joining us now to talk about it, he is the director for Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture. Dr. Jim Mintert is with us. Jim, it is good to catch up with you again. How are you?
Very good. Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate the opportunity as well.
Well, let's talk about this. Farmer sentiment recovering a bit in the May report, as it looked like that barometer was up, 9 points compared to April, Jim?
It was up 9 points. And, you know, that was a modest improvement in the barometer. I think if you look at it on a chart, though, you kind of view it as maybe a little bit of a sideways move, in the sense that for about the last 2 years, we've sort of been in a trading range of about 99 on the low end to a upper end of about 125, 126. So, you know, from a sentiment perspective, those really aren't super positive readings. And I think it does suggest that people are still very concerned. In fact, when you kind of dip under the hood just a little bit and look at the index of current conditions and the index of future expectations, which are just kind of decomposed out of the barometer itself, you can really get a better picture on what people are thinking, because the current condition index over the last, really going back a little over a year, has been kind of drifting lower. And in fact, this month, it was up a few points this month, but really it's well below that future expectation index. I think the reading was 89, whereas the future expectation index was at 117. So people are not feeling very good about what's going on their farm here in 2024. They're pretty concerned about their current situation, but they remain cautiously optimistic about what's going to take place in the future.
Well, and I feel like, too, with the month of May, it was kind of a tale of, the beginning versus the end. I think as far as like the markets, you know, we were having some good rallies to start May, and then that's kind of fallen apart here lately. Of course, spring planting season has been trudging through the mud in a lot of spots, but getting a crop planted, I would have to think some of those things may be a factor on some people's thoughts on the current conditions for the barometer.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, if you look at the overall barometer and why people maybe are a little more optimistic about the future, because that was really the driver of the improvement that took place in the May barometer relative to April, you know, prices relative to when we took the survey in April versus when we took the survey in May, prices for corn and soybeans did rise over that time frame. We made some good planting progress at that point. In fact, when we did the May survey, basically planting progress had caught up to the five-year average. And so I think that combination maybe helped people feel a little bit better thinking about, you know, what the crop might look like in 2024. And of course, the 24 crop, a large portion of that's going to be sold by a lot of folks in 2025. So that maybe helps explain why that future expectation was as positive as it was. But I think, you know, from a longer term standpoint, you know, I think it's useful to think about how the barometer is constructed. We started doing this in the fall of 2015, and every index always has to have a base period. So our base period is the fall of 2015 and the first quarter of 2016. And, you know, for your listeners, thinking back about what kind of shape agriculture was in late 2015, early 2016, it wasn't great, especially in the Corn Belt. We were in the midst of a downturn, kind of the early stages of a downturn, but still an economic downturn. And so when the index drops below 100, that means we're below that base period in terms of sentiment. And it means that people have a perspective that's actually a little weaker than what they had back in late 15 and early 16. So with that current condition index sitting at 89, that kind of tells you that people are worried, right? They're concerned about what's taking place. And the future expectation index is above that. So people are a little more optimistic about the future than they were during that base period. That's the positive side. But still, I think people are very concerned about what's taking place with respect to weakening commodity prices and high input cost, meaning high break-evens. And they're worried about a cost-price squeeze. And they've been telling us that when we asked the specific question about, you know, what's your biggest concern for the upcoming year? And people tell us consistently they're worried about high input prices.
Well, and I was going to ask you about that cost-price squeeze kind of thought, a line of thinking here, and you hit on it. Outside looking in at the charts, you know, for instance, that you guys have on the ag.purdue.edu website for commercial ag, you can read through everything and look at the barometer charts. I mean, just, you know, seeing that current conditions number down at 89, it really kind of speaks to some of that. And that's a lot of what I've heard too from producers across the country here, Jim, is just that it just feels like 2024, even though we've got the crop in the ground, it's cost a lot more than the last few years to put that crop in the ground. And maybe some of that maybe speaks as well to what the overall farm financial performance could look like. I know you guys measure that with a sub-index as well.
Yeah, so the Farm Financial Performance Index was up a little bit this month, reading of 82, up from 76 last month. But, you know, if you look at it compared to last year, it's a little stronger than last year. I think 6 points higher than last year. But if you look at the chart, as you mentioned on the website, you know, those are some of the lowest readings we've had for that index. I think 76 is the lowest reading we've ever had on that index. So we're hovering in that range. That kind of tells you that people are not expecting the upcoming 12 months to be great from a farm financial performance perspective. And the other way to look at it is to go back and compare it to what people were thinking at the end of last year. In the fall, for example, in December, that index was at 97. So people are a lot more concerned about their farm's financial performance now than they were back in the fall when the index was sitting up in the 90s. And again, you know, I think a lot of it gets back to just the cost of putting these crops in the ground. You know, looking at our budgets, my colleague Michael Langemeyer, who's a co-author on the barometer with me, he does the crop budgets here at Purdue. And his full cost budget, and just as a point of emphasis, when I say a full cost budget, that means not only your variable cost that you're purchasing those inputs out of your checkbook, but also values those inputs or resources that you own. So example, you know, if you own farmland, we're pricing that into the budget at whatever the cash rent would be, that kind of thing. When you look at it that way, the break even for corn here in Indiana, and I would argue probably most of the Corn Belt, is in the high fours or close to $5 a bushel. I think the budget number was actually $4.90 the last time we ran the updated the spreadsheet. And the same story on soybeans. You know, the break evens are in the high 11s, approaching $12 a bushel, not quite 12. So, you know, people are looking at that versus what new crop bids are. And those new crop bids, at least on a cash basis, are below that, right? So that's the concern folks have and why they're having a concern about their farm's financial performance. And I think that's trickling over into things like, you know, their attitude about investments.
Jim, I know as well, you guys have been doing some work and asking some questions of farmers and ranchers in the survey about solar projects on their farm. Talk about some of the latest you've seen there.
Yeah, the solar thing has really gotten quite interesting. We started asking questions about solar leasing, leasing farmland for solar energy production back in the spring of 2021. And the first few times we asked it, we asked, you know, have you had a discussion with a company about this? And depending on the month, we got responses from about 6 to as much as 11% of the people in the survey said that they had a discussion. The last few surveys, we kind of changed the question a little bit, and we said, because it's been going on a while, we said, have you had a discussion in the last 6 months? Because we wanted to know what was going on more contemporaneously. These last two surveys, we've gotten 19 and 20% of the people in the survey, that's 1 out of 5, say they've had a discussion with a company about the possibility of leasing farmland for solar energy production. That's a lot. The first time we got that was in April in 19%. And I thought, well, is this a one-off? Is this an anomaly? And then we used the same question in May and we got 20%. So I'm starting to think that there really is an upsurge with respect to interest in leasing farmland for solar energy production. And then we followed up. If you say that you have had a discussion, we ask, well, how much money are they talking about? What is the annual payment rate you're offered to lease some of your farmland for the installation of a solar energy project to generate electricity? And this would be for the long-term portion of the lease, which is typically 20 or 25 years. Mm-hmm. And folks are telling us, you know, over half, 55% said they were offered over $1,000 an acre. To put that in context, the first time we asked that question back in 2021, only 27% said they were offered over $1,000 an acre. And 27% of the people in this month's survey said they were offered $1,250 or more per acre. Wow. So, you know, if you look at it again, the chart is on the website. If you look at it, you can tell pretty clearly, one, interest in leasing farmland for solar energy production is rising. And secondly, the rates that companies are talking about offering people have been increasing significantly over these last 3 years.
You can learn more online, ag.purdue.edu/commercial ag. With that, Dr. Jim Mintert with the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next month about the Ag Economy Barometer. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. I look forward to it.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk with author and political commentator John Halsman here on AOA. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Milk markets were mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk down 16 to 1999, August down 8 to 2028, September down 15 to 2009, October up 3 at 1996. Live and feeder cattle markets mostly lower on the day. Even though there was some strength in boxed beef prices, there is still no cash markets have developed as of yet. It looks like the trade waiting for those cash markets to develop on Friday before moving prices higher. Also, strength in corn markets pressured the feeder cattle markets. Hog markets also moving mostly lower as well. Even though export sales were modest for the market is again trying to find some support. Did find a little bit of support today on a technical type of bounce due to severe oversold conditions in the hog market. June live cattle up 5 cents to 181.82. August feeder cattle down $1.97 to 252.85. June hogs up 5 cents to 92.15. Corn and beans were higher at the Chicago Board of Trade on a technical bounce due to severe oversold conditions from the last few sessions. While wheat markets moved lower, MATIF wheat prices were a little bit lower heading into their close, and that pressured U.S. wheat. New crop corn up 10.5 to 469.5. New crop beans up 16.5 to 1167. July wheat down 7.25 to 639.5. I'm Brian Winnikins.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Customer owned, community minded.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for sticking with us here on AOA, Agriculture of America. As we continue today's program, let's dive into the world of geopolitics and issues going on around the world that could have an impact here on the U.S. and rural America and so much more. Joining us for a conversation, author, geopolitical strategist and consultant, columnist, and so many things. And his current book, The Last Best Hope, A History of American Realism, is available everywhere, including Amazon and more. Joining us now, Dr. John Halsman's back with us on AOA. John, it is so good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm very well, Jesse. Always great to be back.
Well, I think I could throw a dart at a dartboard and pick a topic here. We have so many that we could talk about. You know, I think about in terms of agriculture, we've had a lot of discussion about a farm bill here as of late and a lot of the partisan fighting that has spilled into a farm bill. Well, of course, you know, the next 5 months ahead, it's already kind of started. We got a wild ride in front of us in the U.S. in terms of a presidential election. Your perspective on where things kind of stand with American politics here as we enter presidential silly season full force, John?
Yes, it's been a wild ride already, Jesse. It's very clear at the moment that Donald Trump is ahead, because if the Republicans have a 2-3% lead on the Electoral College, so it means if it's a tie, Trump's winning. And you see that in the Real Clear Politics numbers. He's up one nationally. He's up two in a five-way race involving Bobby Kennedy Jr. and the two smaller left-wing candidates, Jill Stein and Cornel West. And then he's up three in the seven battleground states that really are going to tell the tale. And those would be Arizona, of course, and then you get Georgia, North Carolina, Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And he's up about three there. So Trump is ahead by about a neck. It's still very close. But the indictment and conviction had done nothing to change the basic parameter. Republicans think it was a frame-up. Democrats think at last Trump got his just desserts. But nothing is moving the needle. The story of really the last 12 months of the campaign is nothing has happened. Nothing has moved. And it's a very, very close race. But I give the edge to Donald Trump right now.
And you mentioned Bobby Kennedy in there as well. And he's made some noise here in recent months. And could he be someone that throws a little extra chaos into this whole presidential election cycle? What are your thoughts there?
No, I think absolutely. I mean, he's done incredibly well for a third-party candidate. He's at about 12% nationally in the polls. And remember, the last time any third-party candidate got over 10% was Ross Perot back in 1992. So it's been a long, long time. And he's bringing up issues that really confound left-right analysis. On some ways, sounds like he's on the left. He's an environmentalist. That's how he made his name, as an environmental lawyer. But he's also a skeptic of vaccines, particularly Dr. Fauci, but vaccines in general. He's worried about what he calls the one-party war state, which has been more on the right and with realists. And you see this in the polling numbers. It depends on the state. In some states, particularly in the South, he seems to be taking votes from Joe Biden. But in the northern three Rust Belt states that matter, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, he's taking votes for Trump. So, yes, he is definitely the wildest of wild cards.
It's so many things going on, and you mentioned the court cases and more, and just so many unprecedented things I feel like are happening in this election cycle. But in the broader spectrum of things going on in the world too, we have a lot of issues, a lot of folks that maybe aren't too happy with the United States as well. And I think about China, for instance, and trade policy and their issues with Taiwan, and you of course have the Black Sea region issues still going on, the war in Israel with Gaza and Hamas, and so all these other issues too we can't forget about, because they're going to get roped into this whole election cycle, I feel like, as well, John.
No, they will. I mean, they asked John Kennedy, asked Prime Minister Harold Macmillan what worried him in the world, and he said, events, dear boy, events. Things intruding on our election. The world doesn't wait for us to get through this process. And you mentioned there are an incredible number of hotspots out there. No one of them is a conflagration, but there are a lot of forest fires out there. There's always the perennial Taiwan issue and who dominates the Indo-Pacific lurking beneath all this. You have Gaza, the Gaza war going on in Israel, making threatening noises about the North and Hezbollah. You have the Ukraine war grinding on. You have European elections today. Just this week, there were elections in three incredibly important countries, South Africa, Mexico, and India. I mean, you know, to put it mildly, things are busy at work, and that all these things will interact, and there'll be some wild card thrown up that they'll have to deal with. One remembers when Obama and McCain were running, nobody thought the financial crisis was coming, but that became a fundamental issue, and John McCain's real inability to master the kind of finer points of financial wherewithal certainly helped Obama. He probably would have won anyway, but overwhelmingly he won because of this notion that nobody even thought about when the campaign started. So McMillan's right. Watch out for events, dear boy, events.
We're talking with geopolitical strategist and author Dr. John Halsman here today on AOA. John, you mentioned some of the elections, and we've talked about this before. This is the year of elections around the world. Mexico in particular, electing Claudia Sheinbaum here this past week, and there's already been some chatter on the ag side wondering if she could have any sort of impacts on USMCA, as that's going to be up for review here soon, things like that. But your perspective on her being elected as the president of Mexico, and could that change some dynamics here in North America?
I think it could. I mean, there are a couple ways to look at it. She won this overwhelming victory, Sheinbaum, because of AMLO, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the outgoing populist leftist president of Mexico. But AMLO actually was a bit of a Trump whisperer. For all that everybody said they'd have a fistfight when they got into the room, AMLO was very good at managing the USMCA process and reaching a deal when people thought that wouldn't happen. In the end, Mexico is caught. One of its former strongmen used to pray every night, and he'd say, "Dear God, protect Mexico, so far from God, yet so close to the United States." I mean, they know we're the 800-pound gorilla they've got to reach a deal with, but the terms of that deal matter immensely. I think Sheinbaum, she's much more technocratic. She's been a scientist. She's much more empirical, less emotional than AMLO. And so I think this is actually, in terms of style, bodes very, very well. On substance, we'll have to wait. Can she get out from under the shadow of AMLO, who's the most popular politician in recent Mexican history? So it cuts both ways there.
I want to move a little farther south from Mexico and talk about Argentina real quick, as we've seen President Javier Milei has done some very interesting things to try and, you know, bring back their economy in Argentina and things like that. And largely, it looks like he's been having success. Talk about that, because at the time when he was elected, there was a lot of skepticism there.
There was. I love him. I mean, there's a man who actually means what he says. He's a libertarian who would never have gotten anywhere in the old highly statist, highly socialist, highly corporatist Argentina kind of political class, but they've made such a mess of it. Argentina has every resource you can think of and ought to do very well, but it's been run into the ground by, as he would put it, socialism. And so what he's done is say, we have to make our country an experiment in free markets and opening up markets. And incredibly out of nowhere, he won. This guy with wild hair who played in a Rolling Stone cover band, who cloned his dogs and named them after famous libertarian economists. I think one of them's called Hayek. I love this. And he's gone in and really said, well, we're going to fire government workers who've been on the payroll merely to help with patronage. And despite vast protests, he's kept his word. And even the World Bank and the IMF, to which Argentina owe billions of dollars, have said, we're absolutely shocked by this guy. So this is the best news to come out of Argentina in memory. And this really does bear watching, because this could change markets in America and in a very positive way. We could suddenly have a real trading partner. He's very pro-American and wants to do more and more with us. So this has become one of the most fascinating global stories that literally nobody saw coming. I'm proud to say our firm did.
Well, and pro-American too. You think about, you know, Argentina has largely kind of been with Brazil and looking towards China for a trade partner. So interesting things there. We got about a minute or so real quick as we kind of bring this back home. What do folks listening in here in America really need to keep in mind as they continue to watch the volatile political environment that we have? That's the way I'll put it.
I think there are two things. There's a defensive side and an offensive side. On defense, we need to see how crises don't get out of hand. For instance, in the Middle East, we've said, as long as the war is localized and doesn't really spread in a big way to the north with Hezbollah, trading patterns will remain good. But we also have to look more positively for areas like Argentina, where there are opportunities for greater trade, greater connections going forward. You have to go about this in the global sphere with both things in mind. It's like a good football game, Jesse. It's good offense and good defense. And Argentina is an example of a great offense going forward, avoiding calamity in the usual hotspots. That's good defense.
Well, again, you can check out his latest book on Amazon, The Last Best Hope, A History of American Realism. And with that, John Halsman, always enjoy the conversation, sir. And I sure no doubt we'll talk again here once or twice, maybe, before we figure out who the next president of the United States will be later this year. Thanks for the time today. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jesse. Take care.
John Halsman with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. Always good to talk with him. Coming up next, as we get ready to wrap up today's show, we're going to talk about all the rain we've seen in parts of the Midwest. What has that done for our nutrients and maybe some nutrient leaching in our fields? Dr. Ross Bender with Mosaic will join us for that conversation right after this here on AOA.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durand. Bauer Built, built on service.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that the first June Dairy Month was celebrated in Wisconsin in 1939? Dairy Month was intended to showcase the national dairy industry in the face of drastic milk surpluses and plummeting milk prices. In 1944, Dairy Month was celebrated to promote dairy as vital to victory during World War II. Cheesemakers produce over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheese. This message is brought to you by Wisconsin Credit Union. 14 locations to serve you. WisconsinCU.org. Wisconsin Credit Union, where they say, we belong to you.
Our community is made up of lots of different members with different interests and dreams. The same is true with our members at Wisconsin Credit Union, who count on us for lots of different things to help pursue those interests and dreams. From a range of savings and checking accounts to loans, mortgages, and financial planning, as well as specialized business accounts and services too. And unlike banking at some places where you're just a number, when you bank at Wisconsin Credit Union, you're actually an owner in a not-for-profit cooperative, which is how we can offer higher rates and lower fees and exceptional customer service. Plus, all the latest conveniences, too. You can even open accounts, apply for loans, and become a member online or by visiting any of our convenient locations. So, whatever your interests, dreams, or financial needs, anytime is the right time to join Wisconsin Credit Union. Start at WisconsinCU.org. Member eligibility required. Equal opportunity lender. Member NCUA.
Sitting Around the Table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whenever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now on the program, of course, a lot of areas throughout the Midwest have seen a ton of rain here over the last month or so this spring planting season. Although we've been doing pretty well with staying on our average paces, a lot of folks have had to deal with rain and drying things out before they could continue in the field. Well, what does all the rain mean for our nutrients here this spring and as we get into the summer months? Joining us now for a conversation, he is the Director of New Product Development with the Mosaic Company. Dr. Ross Bender is with us here on the show. Ross, it is great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Jesse, thank you. Looking forward to the conversation.
Well, let's just start. I know as I kind of set up there, rainfall in the Midwest here throughout the spring and into the early summer here is there's been a lot of areas that have seen plenty of rainfall, no doubt. So, I mean, what issues has that brought about from your side, from an agronomy perspective here, as we get things finished up with planting and get into the summer growing season?
It makes a difference. So I work at Mosaic on our innovation team, thinking about new products. I do farm just a little bit on the side in East Central Wisconsin. And since we finished planting in early May, we've had rain about 14 of the 36 days. So almost every other day, we're getting some sort of rain at about 8 inches. And when it comes to nutrient management, everything that we know about how nutrients cycle and are used is influenced by water. It helps move nutrients into the soil. It helps with organic matter cycling and mineralization, does a number of things. So if some rain is good, more must be better, right? Not when it comes to this amount of water. So the issue that we face is the soil is naturally negatively charged. And some of the nutrients that we apply are negatively charged. Not all of them, but some. Nitrogen, some forms of nitrogen, some forms of sulfur, and some forms of boron. And when some nutrients are negatively charged and the soil is negatively charged, just think like putting a magnet together. Two same ends of the magnet, they sort of repel each other. They don't attract to each other. So that's effectively what we have going on in the soil. A lot of rain forces some of those nutrients into the profile that's either below the root zone temporarily or maybe below the root zone permanently. Too much rain also can cause ponding, and some nutrients can be volatile and they can sort of float off into the atmosphere. So those are the types of dynamics that we're watching out for today.
Ross, what are some of those key nutrients that are more susceptible to leaching? Talk about that a little bit.
The nutrients that should be on a grower's mind today are nitrogen, sulfur, and boron. Those are the three that can exist in some forms in a negative form. And the challenge associated with those is, like I mentioned, they can move deeper into the profile or deeper out of the profile than that crop is going to reach. If you haven't planted yet, which is the case in some areas, especially where I do farm, thinking about applying fertilizer that has multiple forms of those nutrients. Okay, so you have the four R's: right source, right rate, right time, and right place. And nitrogen gets a lot of attention in the four R's, thinking about rate, time, and place, and some of those things interact with one another. But when it comes to the four R's, what you want to be thinking about is developing a plan that can hedge against some of these less than ideal environmental scenarios. So if a farmer hasn't planted today and they're going to be spreading fertilizer yet they would want to make sure that they're selecting options that have multiple forms to extend the availability. If they haven't, then they're going to want to be thinking about some in-season nutrient management techniques. Some farmers like to use dry programs, some have liquid programs. You're going to want to be customizing your approaches here in the next couple of weeks.
Well, and thinking about that, it sounds like there are a few options for folks to try and manage things yet this growing season, depending on their specific operation, right, Ross?
Right. So in the case of nitrogen, which does get a lot of attention, what you're going to want to be thinking about is how, unfortunately, if you're in an area that has received a lot of rainfall and you have nitrogen that was put out there in an unprotected form, you will most certainly have had some loss, potentially significant loss. So you have to kind of rethink about how am I going to get nitrogen out there, probably sulfur, maybe boron as well. How am I going to get the nitrogen out there close to the root zone and into the profile during this period of time? We call it the corn sprint, but during this period of time when the crop has this surge of demand. So there's really good nitrogen sources, sulfur or sulfate-based sources. I, on my farm, sometimes use a liquid program. I'm making a couple passes in season. I would encourage farmers to be always splitting their applications. In the case of sulfur, it's not too late as well. Thinking about getting sulfate out there, 5 to 10 more units if you haven't had the sulfur out there already. KMAG is a great way to deliver that because it has sulfur with the magnesium and the potassium. For the future, however, I would encourage growers to think about how they could focus on the source part of the four R's, the right source. So I'm going to put my sort of mosaic hat on here for a moment, but there's a couple sources out there that have multiple release properties that hedge your bet against inclement weather conditions. So like Micro Essentials is a great example of a sulfur-containing phosphate technology that has a fast-release sulfur form and a slow release that helps protect you, keep something available right away, and it has sort of reserve on the back end. Same thing with Aspire, which is a potash technology that has multiple forms of boron in it. So if it's not too late this year, I would encourage growers to think about those tools to help them. But definitely for future growing seasons, I would encourage them to build that into their cropping plan. And that will help protect you against some of these types of challenges.
Well, I would think as well, tips and tricks like this, or looking at products from Mosaic, et cetera. I'm sure cropnutrition.com, Ross, is a great place to start and get more information, right?
Cropnutrition.com, that's my favorite place to go. You'll learn all about great sort of unbiased crop nutrition information. If you're interested in learning more about some of the tools that we have, you also can get connected to learn more about those products on that website as well. So that's where I would encourage those growers to start.
Learn more at cropnutrition.com. With that, Dr. Ross Bender with Mosaic. Ross, thanks for joining us on the program today. It's always good to talk with you. We will get you back on the show again soon.
Jesse, thank you. And good luck to everybody this year.
And with that, we are out of time. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for listening to AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now.
Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL, opioids helped.
If spring allergies keep you trapped inside, then you need Navage Nasal Care to keep you breathing clearly and enjoying all the beauties of spring. Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available.